So I'm excited about the Lord. I'm excited about who He is. I want to talk briefly. And the thing is, listen, when I talk about the devil, when I preached about the devil, I gave you a copy of that message. I was sick all week, the next week. The atmosphere that this thing comes, that brings when you entertain him so much, it's a bad atmosphere. It's a lethal atmosphere. Even just the atmosphere of just discussing him for 20 or 30 minutes. I was coughing, starting to cough before I walked out that door. And by the end of the week, I had been diagnosed with pneumonia, the flu, the sinusitis, and I was running a 102 temperature, sitting in the doctor's office. They were worried. They kept going out the door and coming back in, and going out and doing another test, and going out and doing another test, and giving me a chest x-ray, and maybe come back the next day at 8 o'clock. They wanted to see. And so I said that to say that if talking about the devil can bring that kind of atmosphere, imagine what talking about Jesus can bring. Imagine. We're going to talk about him today. We're going to sing about him some today if time permits. And I'm not going to mess around along. I'm going to kind of get through this. But we really need to talk about this Jesus. In Acts 10, 34 and 35, Peter visited Cornelius's house. Cornelius was a Gentile. And at that point, it hadn't been any real Gentile converts. It was just Jews that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But Cornelius was told to send for this man, Peter, Joppa. And he sent for Peter, and Peter came. And Peter began to talk to Cornelius and his household about Jesus. And as he delivered his message to them, he started saying that, of a truth I perceive, number one, he said that God is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. And then he went down to verse 38, he says, and he told him, he is telling you about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with Jesus. And Peter went on to tell them more about this Jesus, how they had taken him and how they had crucified him and hung him on a tree, but that he was raised the third day, and he had commanded them to preach Jesus, how to preach to the people and to testify concerning him. And it says, through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Remission of sins. Now listen, sin, I mean, we're sin sick. I mean, when we're born as sinners. But that's capital S-I-N. But then even when we get saved, then small s, we still fight with the small sins that we still deal with. And so we still have problems. Sin comes in many different forms and many different in manners and ways. See? And so as he preached, the Bible says, as he preached while he yet spake these words, he says that the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. He was preaching and talking about Jesus as we were last week. We were talking about Jesus. And as we did that, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. The Spirit of God began to move. This is this Jesus that we talk about. Now, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. He changes not. Yesterday, say yesterday, today and forever. Jesus does not change. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's me now. I can adopt that. I did not come with education and with excellency of speech and words. I really came only knowing one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I have a college degree, but the doctrine of Jesus trumps that. by many, 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 many steps. When I got saved, I sat under high school graduates and some non-high school graduates. It didn't matter to me. I did not put that in and say, well, No, you can help me. If you can help me, I want to hear what you got. I will not put that. And so I didn't come here talking about what I learned about whatever in this institution here of man. I came preaching only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was here, and I'm here in weakness and trembling, often in weakness and trembling. And I don't neglect to tell you of my weaknesses and trembling, so you won't put me on some pedestal. The higher the pedestal is, the harder it hurts when you fall. I don't need to be up on pedestal. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Demonstration. Listen. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And why is this? Why do I preach this way? So that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And you know, I'll say, you need to go to the Lord with that. You need to talk to the Lord. This is what I think, but you might need to go talk to Him about it. Why? You don't need your faith to stand in me. You're not going to always find me or a man. But He's always there. He doesn't change. Jesus is always there. So your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I've said many times, I will let you down. I will. I don't want to. And I won't try to, but because I'm a man, I will let you down. and I promise that. And I will, and it'll hurt me to do it, but it'll happen because I'm a man. Surely I've let some down and you've gotten over it, bless God. 1 Corinthians 2:9-12 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. He's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Father, today we thank You for Your word. And we thank You for You, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful, Lord, that You've saved us, You've touched us, You've called us, You've appointed us, and Lord, You've anointed us to work and to live in Your glory today, tomorrow, forever. So touch us today, Lord. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, if it be Your will that You visit us, that Your own person or with Your angels touch us today, Lord, as only You can. We need to hear from You, so get me out of the way. We've already heard from men. We do that all the time. We need to hear from You, Lord. We don't need a touch from man, Lord. We need a touch from You. So please, Lord, touch us. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Now, y'all, I just want to remind you, pay close attention to what God is doing. And you pay close attention to what's happening to you and in you during the course of the rest of His service. Okay. Pay attention now. I believe it's going to be really good. The phrase, get thee behind me, Satan, only appears 3 times in the scriptures. 3 times. 1 time, Jesus was talking to Satan himself, to the devil. That was fit that he speaks to Satan in the wilderness when he was tempted those 3 times, and he finally said, get behind me, Satan. And it's written, you shall worship the Lord God, and Him only will you serve. And then the other time is He was spoken to Peter. And it's spoken in the book of Matthew and it's spoken in the book of Mark. The first one was in Luke 4:8. And in Matthew 16:23, he turned and said to Peter, Peter, to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He says, you're an offense to me. You're savers, or you set your interest not on the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That's how he made the connection with Peter. And when he said Satan, that means one that usurps authority, one that gets in the way of the will of God being done. Surely he wasn't calling Peter Satan. But Peter was clicked into something pretty satanic, because whatever wants to stop the will of God from being done is satanic. Amen. Pastor Leroy. Whatever stands in the way of God's will being done is satanic. And so Jesus emphasized that, Peter, you're listening to not only to Satan, but he says, and the way that you're doing it is that you are trying to pull me into the things that are of interest to men and not to the things that are of interest to God. And I just gave you a key now. I just gave you a key. You wrote these cards down. These are things that concern you. Are you getting it now? These are things concerning you. As long as your focus is on these things will distract you from the will of God. And most of the times people ask for prayers for things that concern them. And it's not wrong, but I'm just making a point to let you know that these kinds of things could step in front of God blessing you and touching you. Now, listen. He wants to touch you. He wants to bless you. In Matthew chapter 6:25, he exhorts us not to be concerned about worldly things, but to put our trust, but to put our faith in God. Well, that's easy for you to say. My rent is due Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. If I don't make that car payment by Tuesday, they're going to tow it away. That's easy for you to say, don't worry about the things of the world. That's easy for you to say, I hadn't had a bike in 2 days. You see? And it's not that I don't understand that, and I'm not insensitive to that. But listen, he's given us a key to how this works. He's giving us a key to how this works. And even though you see the rent man coming, you can still turn and say, you know what? I trust you. I still trust you. I love you. And I know, Lord, this is in your hands. Now, Matthew 6:25 through 34 says this, and it's Jesus speaking already. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, he says, now he gives an example for food. Look at the birds of the air. Look around. It's a natural example. They sow not. They don't plant anything. They don't reap anything. They don't go and reap anything. They don't gather things into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? That's the logic of Jesus. He said, which of you, just by taking thought, can add one cubit, can add one inch to your stature, can add one inch to your height? Can you positively add to your height? Which of you, by taking thought, he said, can add one cubit to your stature? By taking thought. So you say, don't let your mind trick you in this situation. And why take ye thought for clothing or raiment? He says, why are you worried about what you're going to wear? Consider, he says, the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. That means they don't make their own yarn, they don't make their own cloth. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And Solomon was glorious in his clothing, his mannerism, his wise man. He said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, he says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, or the heathens, seek. He says this, Your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. He already knows that you need these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and listen, all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Well, I'm losing my job. What in the world do I do? I'm trusting God. What do you have to say about this job, Lord? What do you have to say to me about this? They closed my job down in Miami and gave me 6 months to decide to come to Miami or find another job, or it wasn't going to be there. And I waited around the first 3 months waiting for God to tell me that. Drove those people in Miami. You started yet? I said, no. Why not? I said, God hadn't told me what to do. What to do? You already know what to do. You need to do this. You need to. I said, well, thank you. First month, second month. What did you do? No, no, nothing. Why? I'm waiting to hear from God. What's from God? Third month. What you gonna do? No. What? God hadn't told me what to do. I'm waiting to hear from him. And then finally I heard from him. And we started moving. And listen, when we started moving, the house that we live in now was not on the market 3 months before we got down to Miami. It was on the market in the fourth month. There was someone living in the house. We liked that house. We saw it. But we wouldn't have even seen that house. We wouldn't have seen that neighborhood. And so I waited and waited and waited. My job was going down. I was not going to have a job. You're supposed to get busy real quick and start spinning and spinning and spinning. But I said, I'm going to wait for you, Lord. You tell me what to do. I will not move until I hear from you. Huh? I will not move until I hear from you. And it gets real close. And you know, when we closed on the last day, at the last minute of business, we were the last people in the office signing papers. We closed the office down on the last day before the interest kicked on again. Took us right down to the wire. And I said, why do you do me like this, Lord? Because, you know, I need to learn to trust him. But listen, there's not one thing in the world that you've got going on that God cannot handle for you today. And, oh, he's handling it right now. I need a few more minutes. He's handling it right now. You're going to go back and you're going to find that something changed or something went on or somebody said something or somebody wrote something. You watch what I say. Watch it now. He's not doing this for any reason. This Jesus, listen, he met needs. He met needs. To show who he was. He turned water into wine when there was a need for wine. Does Jesus care for wine? Well, he cared for this. They had no wine, so he met the need. He turned water into wine. He healed leprosy. This man was in need. Unclean, unclean. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick of a fever. She got up and began to minister to him. That means she cooked beans or something, not preach to him, she ministered to him. She fed them and, you know, did things, washed their feet or whatever. And then others came later and he cast out devils and he healed many of them right there in Peter's mother-in-law's house. He calmed the sea in Matthew 8:23. He healed the centurion's servant. And he healed a woman with a 12-year-long issue of blood. These are the works that Jesus did. He raised the dead son to life again of a woman that was called the widow by the scriptures, the widow of Nain. They were going to bury her son. That was her only source of support. In Judaism, when a woman's male relative dies, she's on her own. She's got to go pick up sticks and beg and cook or do whatever she can to make it. And so when that was, he met her need by raising her son to life. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. He did that so that people would know that God sent him. He delivered the demoniac of Gadara, of a legion of demons. That man was in need. That man was in need. Listen, if you're being harassed by evil, listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm not saying that you've got demons, but if it's evil, Jesus Christ can and will deliver you from that. He has not changed at all. He restored withered and impotent limbs, legs, arms, again, to full use, he did. In the temple, he told a man with a withered hand, he says, stand in the midst. Hey, I want to ask y'all something. Is it good to heal on the Sabbath or not? No one said anything. He said, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth and it was whole again. That's this Jesus that you know. You say you know. And I say, I know. Whole again. He restored this man. He healed the paralytic man who was sick of the palsy. They tore up a whole roof to get to Jesus. He fed 5,000 at one time. He fed 3,000 at another time. And it was just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And listen, when it was over, they collected more both times than they started with. That he borrowed somebody's lunch and gave them dinner back. You got lunch for the day, and here, there's dinner for your parents. Hey, go feed the family. Go feed the whole village. I mean, when was it, 12 baskets full? How that boy is going to carry all the baskets? But he had one basket and a few fish. He's ended with 12. Jesus does that. He multiplies what you have, what you give to him. You know, when you give to the poor, he says you lend to the Lord. Come on now, y'all. Listen now. Y'all, you're holding the penny so tight until the man on there is in tears. You're squeezing the tears out of his eyes. Let that thing go. Thank God for tithes. Thank God for offering. But there's a world out there that has a need as well. And you come across those needs every day of your life. And you see a person with a need, and you pat your pocket. Well, I'm going to pray for them. I hope God bless them. You're the blessing. You go over there and bless them. If you give to the poor, you lend unto the Lord. God wants to bless this world. But he needs to do it through you. And if you're too selfish to do it, then no wonder you've got problems yet. No wonder things aren't flowing. It's not going to always be peaches and honey. You understand that. But listen, y'all. God is able. And he will.
Amen.
John 21:25, it ends with the following. It says, and there were also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. What has Jesus done for you lately? What has he done for you lately? Remember this concerning him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Remember when Peter was preaching, while he yet preached, that the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, fell on all of them that heard the word. I mean, I bet that I've been up here preaching and y'all have felt a little something and you're shaking it off. You might shake it off and be like, oh boy, I must be losing my mind. No, you're not. You're supposed to have already lost that and have the mind of Christ. You know, that's God many times touching you. God many times getting your attention. He spake the Holy Ghost spell. Corinthians, but my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's spirit. Listen, it's demonstration of the Spirit and power. Listen, we are still yet to see. We are still yet to hear. It's still yet to enter into our hearts what God has prepared for us, for the ones that love him. But listen, spiritually, he's showing it to us. He shows you spiritually, but ain't no sense trying to talk about it too much because there are no words. Because it's otherworldly. Amen. Amen. One amen. I guess y'all thinking about that. You could try to talk about it, but it's just the words don't work. You could try, but you know, talking and say, I just met a bumbling idiot still don't know what he was trying to say. You know exactly what's in your heart, but you try to talk about it to somebody and they look at you like, you know, well, okay, yeah, amen. I gotta go. Look at the time. Nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. That's God in your life. And thank God you don't fit this thing, this mess called world. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:24-25, it says, but this man Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. This Jesus has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, and that means utterly and entirely, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession, that is to entreat, to pray for us. He ever lived to make intercession. Yo, Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding for us. You can't have a better person praying for you than Jesus. Not one prayer has he ever prayed that was not successful. Not one. And the Bible says, he that's begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the very end. And so, wherever you are in your life, whatever your struggle, whatever is confronting you, God is working in your life. He's faithfully bringing it to pass in your life. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we need to learn to surrender to God through Jesus. Surrender is in order. No war is won unless the commanding officer surrenders and signs the papers of surrender and give up his sword, his instrument of war. Y'all still got your swords on, some of you. You got to turn your sword over to Jesus. I know you're saved. But listen, you're not going to win this battle on your own. You got to turn this sword over to Jesus and totally surrender to him. James 4 says this, that adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Give me a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, now, y'all, I know you're saying amen, and I appreciate you saying amen, but listen, this stuff is true now. If you're friend with the world, you're God's enemy. I know, you'll tell me, yeah, yes, you are. That's what the scripture is identifying. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Point blank and simple. Well, what do I do about it? Repent, man. Say, Lord, help me. I love this stuff. Just call it what it is. I love this stuff. Please deliver me from this. It says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. The Bible says that you should submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if you got problems with the devil, you don't go, devil, I rebuke you, and I command you to go away. He's going to laugh in your face.
Amen.
The first work you've got to do is you've got to go to God first. You don't deal with the devil. You can't. We talked about this before. You see what happened to me. And I was trying to do everything right. Listen, first move you make, if the devil is here, you turn to God over here. You say, okay, Lord, please tell me, what do I need to do? Is there something in here that needs to be dealt? Because he acts like he's got some rights here when he's doing this. He's pushing up on you like he's got a right. Why would he push up on you except he feels like he's got a right to push up on you? In other words, what's going on in your life that's devilish? That he's identifying with. Are y'all hearing this? Y'all get quiet awful lot sometimes. But he's coming up on you because he feels like he's got a right to do it. There's something there that he's identifying with.
Yes,
and then when you recognize him, you want to tell him, to, listen, you better get off. He's going like, you come out. You know? The devil say, I bind you.
Yeah.
Not in the name of Jesus, but I bind you anyway. Because you've been playing in my backyard. And I've got a right to touch you. And so you got to turn to see. And God will show you too. What in the world, Lord? Why is he doing this? Something right. So first you got to submit to God. And then once the submission takes place, and there might be some crying in there, God's going to hurt your feelings too, by the way. Some of that stuff he's going to show you is going to hurt your feelings. Your feelings need to be hurt. You got no business messing around with that anyway. Your feelings need to be hurt. You know? Because if you get the feelings hurt, you say, well, I ain't going to do that again. That was hard. That really hurt. You see. But it's a good hurt.
Amen.
So you submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil flees from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Get those song books out, will you please? Don't have long. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. 34. Take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat? What shall ye drink? Wherewithal shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your Heavenly Father knows,
amen,
that you have need of all of these things. Of all of these things.
Yes.
He already knows that you have need. So these. Okay. Seek ye first. When? Seek it when? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. That is a promise. That's a promise.
Amen.
And so if these things aren't added to you, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Are you saying, Lord, they just said such and such to me. What do you say about it? That's seeking him first. What do you say to me about that, Lord? So I'm not sure how to respond to that. Lord, I just got this notice in the mail. What does this mean, Lord, to me? You're seeking him about it. Lord, I don't have money. What are you showing me about this? What should I do? You're seeking him. You see, in your everyday activity, you're seeking him. When it says pray always, well, we've had so much debate about, well, it's not possible to pray always. Nobody can pray always. Listen, don't be ill-retentive with this. You pray always about what you're facing. You pray always about what you're going to do next. You know, I pray when I drive a lot of times. Sometimes I go left because I am impressed to take a left, and it's the long way around. Well, I'm going the long way around today. My son asked me one time, why are you going this way? I just feel led to go this way. That's the long way around. And he burst some gas, but I did what God said to
do. Amen.
Father, we thank you today for your wonderful, wonderful grace and your kindness to us. For the blessing you've given us, Lord, and for these prayer requests, Lord, that have been sent to us, Lord, we just believe you. We believe you, Lord, because you answer needs. That you are going to answer these needs according to your will and according to your purpose, Lord. We have these prayer requests for sisters and young girls, for directions and health issues, Lord, and sadness over job situations, better service to you, Lord, and kindness and patience. Everything on that list, Lord, we pray and trust you, Lord, to bring it to pass. For health, Lord, divine health, peace, and to walk with the Lord. And that a mighty move for this church, for parents, mother and father in school, and for grandparents and for church. And, Lord, that one would be saved from drugs, Lord, and coveting. We just pray, Lord, that you bless this person, that you spoke unto their heart, deliverance from smoking and forgiveness. A closer walk with you, Lord, that your Christian sister and wife instruments, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, today, Lord. That said the same spirit, Lord. We pray for them. Jesus said that everything will be fulfilled and was written about him. And so we thank you, Lord, for all of these requests, Lord, and for discernment, the request for discernment about life as a Christian. Lord, just give them direction. Send them to your word. Speak to them, Lord, to be able to handle life without the usual church. And pray, Lord, that this one wants their eyes to get fixed and healed. Lord, just touch them. Just touch that situation, Lord, for that whatever that you want to put and to deliver these persons from. We pray for them, Lord, for love and to grow. And pray, Lord, that you just touch and help them, Lord. That if someone needs, Lord, a job. It's written that they need a job, Lord. We just trust you to bring this to pass in their lives. But, Lord, not just any job, but the job that you want for them that they can be used by you in this situation for total deliverance. For total submissiveness, for total obedience, for total surrender in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, give this person's family member for a place, a mind. Lord, pray, Lord, for someone that wants to see their children. Lord, just touch this person and open the doors, Lord. We just believe you can do it. And let it be a sign to them, Lord, for family and for wife health, for sins, Lord, for physical problems. For work, Lord. For the knowledge of His truth, and God, thank you. And we thank you for blessing us and being with us now. We're just so grateful for you today, Lord.
magnify your name for your word, for the work that you're doing in our midst. I believe, Lord, that you have moved in our midst. And I believe you've moved you in my life today. I am so blessed to be here. And thank you for it.
If you have another special need, Father, we thank you today for your wonderful, wonderful grace and your kindness to us. For the blessing you've given us, Lord, and for these prayer requests, Lord, that have been sent to us, Lord, we just believe you. We believe you, Lord, because you answer needs. That you are going to answer these needs according to your will and according to your purpose, Lord. We have these prayer requests for sisters and young girls, for directions and health issues, Lord, and sadness over job situation, for the service to you, Lord, and kindness and patience. Everything on that list, Lord, we pray and trust you, Lord, to bring it to pass. For health, Lord, divine health, peace, and to walk with the Lord, and that a mighty move for this church, for parents, mother and father in school, and for grandparents and for church. And, Lord, that one would be saved from drugs, Lord, and covered. And we just pray, Lord, that you bless this person, that you spoke into their heart, deliverance from smoking and forgiveness. A closer walk with you, Lord, that your Christian sister and wife instruments, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, today, Lord, that said the same spirit, Lord. We pray for them. Jesus said that everything will be fulfilled and was written about him. And so we thank you, Lord, for all of these requests, Lord, and for discernment, the request for the sermon about life as a Christian. Lord, just give them direction. Send them to your word. Speak for them, Lord, to be able to handle life without the usual church, and pray, Lord, that this one wants their eyes to be to get fixed and healed. Lord, just touch them. Just touch that situation, Lord, for that whatever that you want to put that is delivering these persons from you. Pray for them, Lord, for love and to grow. And pray, Lord, that you just touch and help them, Lord. That they, someone needs, Lord, a job. It's written that they need a job, Lord. We just trust you to bring this to pass in their life. But, Lord, not just any job, but the job that you want for them, that they can be used by you in this situation for total deliverance, for total submissiveness, for total obedience, for total surrender in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, give this person's family member for a place, a mind. Lord, pray, Lord, for someone that wants to see their children. Lord, just touch this person and open the doors, Lord. We just believe you can do it. And let it be a sign to them, Lord, for family and for wife health, for sins, Lord, for physical problems, and for work, Lord, and for the knowledge of the truth. And God, thank you, and we thank you for blessing us and being with us now. We're just so grateful for you today, Lord. We just magnify your name for your word, for the work that you're doing in our midst. I believe, Lord, that you have moved in our midst, and I believe you've moved you in my life today. I am so blessed to be here, and thank you for it. If you have another special need,